facing off against their old ally turned enemy turned ally again, Caragas, atop the crown of Egadon. He stopped the party from using the Heart of the Void to accomplish their ultimate goal. But instead of killing them outright, the party was incapacitated, with Cad expressing the need to understand them. And so we're brought here to somewhere within Brynir's mind, as the world blacked out and this snowy shrine fell to darkness. You're awoken by the sound of lapping water against the side of a small boat, almost like a canoe, where you find yourself curled up near the aft. As you kind of groggily just sit yourself up, you see there's no one else in the boat. The river is unfamiliar, as is the landscape, though it is vaguely patterned after your Demlik homeland. Great forests of pine trees and other coniferous breeds, large jutting rocks, stone edifices of gray and black. And here, the water, strangely calm, yet wide this river is. And you can see far, far down an eventual waterfall preceded by rapids. But right now, that's neither this or that. There's no danger whatsoever, it seems. And even examining yourself, you notice you're not the same as you were not 10 seconds ago atop the crown of Egadon. No, your weapons are gone. Your clothes seem to be that which you would have worn probably as a young teenager growing up in Demlik. And then recollection sparks recollection as, in fact, this is a river you've traversed before. Somewhere on the road to Irothric, these mountains start to take shape in your mind. Yes, those are the ones you've seen before, not too far south from your own home. Still within these Demlik borders, a little closer to the Fell proper. And strangely, then, all this comes into focus as you realize you've been here before.
And there's nobody around, huh?
No, you're the only one present.
Trying to recall how the events of what happened in his memories. Brynir is going to look around, and he gets the strangest feelings that he's lived this before, and he is very confused as to why he's not on the crown of Egadon, trying to what he believed would save the world. But despite that, he does feel a sense of calm and peace, almost hoping that this is a reality, and everything that he's experienced up until that point was just a very, very long dream, or nightmare, really.
Though the thought is pleasant, the ideation is a kind one. It's quickly shattered as you do come to a little more clearly, sitting up with your back against the edge of this canoe, and you see on the other side, just staring at you, is Cad. Quite lazily shifting his paddle from one side to another like some strange gondolier. And he just cocks an eyebrow. And he says, "Ah, finally, awake. I'd always thought you were the early riser among the group."
"Well, when not forced to sleep, I would say I am. What do you want, Cad?"
"I told you all. I'm simply here to understand." "Oh, here, here." And you see him start to kind of point off to one side. And he begins to steer the canoe toward the beach of this, you know, rock and gravel and such. And as you make landfall, the canoe just scraping up onto the beachhead, he'll disembark and start pulling it a little further. Cad will replace the paddle inside the canoe and then point a little ways off toward a small trail. Barely noticeable amongst the ferns and the low brush, but you can see there is a pretty defined patch of footprints. And he says, "Oh, this way then." And he'll start trudging off into the forest.
Brynir will follow, but he'll try to address Cad as he's leaving.
"What are you trying to understand?"
"About you, let me think. Where it all comes from, I suppose. This strange sense of nobility that I've always seen you carry around. Do you believe yourself to be a good person, Brynir?" He'll say, just peering over his shoulder at you as he continues to walk forward.
It depends on if we are talking about what I believe my actions of the past are versus what I am trying to achieve now.
Perhaps. Perhaps. Let's see how idyllic your true mind envisions such things, eh? And as you continue pushing through the forest, you come to a small clearing where a home stands. There's a little garden off to one side with some vine plants growing on some rods that have been stuck into the dirt. There's a small pen, probably a chicken coop or such, off to another side. And then the home itself seems to be pretty humble, two-story cabin of usual Demlik design. And there's a hearty smoke coming from the chimney. And Cad kind of just wafts the air toward him and says, "Smells like someone's cooking up something good. Why don't we look, Have you seen this place before, have you?"
"I have. What's it to you?"
"Well, why don't we take a peek inside?" And he'll head off to the front door and just walk right in.
Brynir's going to follow.
You follow him in, and you see the usual trappings and construction of the home you grew up in, obviously. You pecked that from a mile away, even just the locale as you started coming closer. And it was kind of like a dream-like transportation where it's just one second you're on the river, and then you're in the forest, and then you're coming up into the backyard. It's nothing makes logical sense. There was no travel time. It's just you're here, then you're there, then you're here. And now, stepping inside, looking out the windows, there isn't a clearing or such. There's the neighboring village down the hill where the other houses and homes were and the different structures that made up your neighborhood, for lack of a better term. Inside here, it's quiet. There's nothing burning in the hearth. Everything is covered in a thin layer of dust, almost like snow. In fact, one of the windows in the back has been left open, and there is a sizable pile of snow that's accumulated just underneath it, next to one of the dining tables as well. And Cad, just hands on his hips, looks around and says, "What? All of a sudden vacant? No one home? I was getting excited, looking forward to an old Demlik meal. I've only heard stories, you know."
"They are quite a sight to behold. But what does it matter? How is this helping you understand me and what I am trying to do?"
"You tell me. You're working from the assumption that I brought you here. I did no such thing. Nor have I done such a thing with your companions, or am doing. Whatever we experience in this place is entirely the fabrication of your own mind. You brought us here, Brynir. So, what do you want me to learn from this place?"
"My people are not necessarily a normal one. We have a few things that are outside normal for other humans. But the emphasis of the Demlik community, their culture, is one of respect and family. To honor those that have fallen, and to give respect to those that deserve it. This is a standard home, not one of lavishness and riches. While there can be more extravagant homes, the people look out for one another and try not to have too much excess. They try to keep everyone happy."
"I wouldn't say any of that is new to me. I've read of the Demlik, of your people, your customs, traditions. I've met a few of them, more than a few, during my time in the human lands. No, no, you won't startle me with any revelations of your peculiarity. Why is the home empty, Brynir? Where are your parents, your siblings?"
"Perhaps they are at the forge."
"Really?" And he takes two fingers and he just wipes the tabletop and holds up the huge accumulation of dust.
"It is very likely that they have fled."
"Why?"
"From my limited knowledge, of how the world is, it doesn't seem like any place is good.
Perhaps not, but this is simply from your mind. The world is not as it is, Rinya. The sun here sets still. Do you think you abandoned them, or they you?
I betrayed them, and so I have cut myself off.
Perhaps. I've heard tell.
And he starts back toward the front door, kind of just peeking through the windows,
that you were once a personal guard attaché, whatever you call it, to one Allah Ironbane. Am I wrong?
No. I failed in my duties to protect him. He was the godborn of the time, and I'm not entirely aware of how he died.
Not aware? Were you not by his side?
I know for a fact that I was, but only remember waking up in the city of Bastion, hearing the news that Ironbane had been felled. I was grievously injured.
I wonder then. Yes, I wonder.
And he opens the door to the cabin and steps outside into just pitch black darkness.
Brynir is going to step outside and see if it continues to be dark.
It is dark, but perhaps not as oppressively so as it seemed from inside the cabin. Rather just a very, very deep night. And you can make out Cad beside you. There's still some snow in the air, a cold chill on the wind, and an eerie silence permeating through it all. There's a smell, too, wafting around of wood fires burning, though you don't see any light.
This is a very strange night. It almost seems like it's too dark.
Kin, unknown on the eve of a battle, to manipulate the light in such a way. I believe it was used as a demoralization tactic, though I never put much stock into the thing. Besides, that you humans would even pose a threat to our armies was a laughable concept amongst most of the kin anyhow, myself included. I believe we're on the eve of some battle then. Perhaps a battle that you, and he just taps his head and points to you, only ever saw up here. And again, he'll tap his forehead.
What do you mean? Why would I not remember?
You said yourself. You weren't present for Ironbane's death, were you? Gravely injured and taken away days before.
Perhaps that could be the case, but if this had anything to do with my injury, wouldn't I be able to remember the events that led up to the incident?
You were never here, Rinya. Don't you see? This is simply what your mind created of the incident that you heard. Besides, I think we've got some facts wrong already. The battle didn't happen at night, and Cad snaps his fingers, and suddenly it's daytime. And you find yourselves at the bottom of a small hill with a large field stretched out in front of it. On said field are hundreds, thousands of soldiers, human soldiers, Tails, Felfolk, Damlik, all in mostly mismatched armor, though some seem to be organized regimentally. The only one really standing out is a man on a horse in sleek steel plate, engraved and trimmed with gold and silver, that you recognize all too well as Allar Ironbane, the was godborn that you had been sworn to protect. And as the sound after this sudden shift from night to day starts to catch up with the visuals, the crickets and evening sounds fading to this daytime din of spears clanging against shields, you see on top of the hill are lines of immaculately clad kin. And you see
and hear Ironbane speaking, but you only catch glimpses of it, of this moving speech that he seems to be delivering to these troops for a battle that you were not present for. And his voice booms, though he himself was very young. You hear him, "We will not be moved by spears or swords. We will not falter in our..." And his voice is overtaken by this cacophonous roar of metal on metal. Slow at first, and then faster and faster as the kin bang their spears and their swords against their shields more and more and more. And Cad just looks over at you, and above all of this, you can hear him perfectly. "Shame you weren't here to die alongside him." "No."
"What are you getting at?"
"I mean, tell me, please. Do you believe he would have survived had you been here?"
"Perhaps. I could have convinced him to leave, to save himself. I could have bought him time."
"Then you're simply trading his life for yours."
"And so was my duty at the time."
"So death is an inevitability."
"I would say that death will come to all eventually."
"Perhaps just more expedited, depending on who wields the instrument." And he turns again toward the hill and gives a cheeky little smile and a point to a certain kin who steps forward from behind the lines, this just flowing cape of pure white behind him. And he turns to you and he smiles again. He says, "Now even I know of that one. Good, good that your little insect brain could piece together the accounts. Do you know who that is?" "Of course not, you don't." "And it doesn't matter his name, but he would have brought death upon you, as he brought death upon your precious godborn." And as he turns back to watch this kin step forward, raising a shield and a sword above his head, this kin just yells out to the troops, "Signe metosisto vrevesi, dior metra an vos rest, kin vos rest." And then chaos ensues as both armies charge toward each other, the human lines faltering just before they're met with the kin, who are barreling down this hill, and right before they smash you and Cad between them, you're back on the river. Cad lazily paddling away, and you just ripped out. You can almost feel like your hand still shaking a bit, the hair on your arm raised as the adrenaline, the pre-battle adrenaline, had started to set in, and then you were just wrenched from that situation entirely. Cad appears unfazed.
"So did you learn anything from that interaction?"
"I couldn't quite say. What should I have taken away?"
"Perhaps that I was under the influence of a being unknown. And until a short while ago, I didn't know myself. Somebody that was not Lomira and her will. I was doing what I could with what I had, with little to no thought of redemption for the things that I had done in my past. This is the one thing that I thought I could do to atone for killing those dearest to me."
"What? Giving your life in service to some false prophet? Of a religion you don't subscribe to? Of a faith you hardly believe in? In service to gods that now more than ever you couldn't care less about?"
"I was very blind and consumed with regret and my own weakness, not being able to stop those influences that made my choices for me."
"I can't imagine failing your charge so completely exactly bolstered your confidence in the matter. But regardless, I've learned something, Brynja, so far. Is that, from what I've seen, your best, with what you've been given, seems to just never be quite good enough.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I tried to learn and grow from my mistakes. Take that inability and seeking to potentially do better in the future. Perhaps get the help of those around me. That is something that I have learned from my companions. Maybe it's not so bad to have others help you.
Time shall tell. And with that, you make land on another side of the river. Again, with this kind of dream transport logic that you're there and then you're trudging through somewhere else. And suddenly you're on the western side of the fell. You hear work songs and chants. You see wagons of prisoners and lines of kin soldiers as you come to a familiar camp where you were once interned. Cad, looking around, looks at you and says, "Never seen one of these in person. I knew they existed, but I didn't think the hegemony at the time would spare the resources. But no, look at them, humanitarian after all." Humanitarian. Interesting connotation, that. Of course, the kin word doesn't include your species, but semantics all. I wonder, Rinya, what past mistake of yours conjured this scene?
There is very little that I remember about this situation as well. From the time Ironbane died and to the arrival of my would-be companions, there was a lot of time that was lost, either to a drunken stupor or just darkness. But there was something interesting that happened here after my newfound companions showed up. We ran into a Veilor. Very strange occurrence of the time.
Yes, I suppose it's all quite trivial now.
Edwinium has had her influence over me a couple of different times. And it's very strange that the Veilor that would help pull the strings would be ever so present near me.
And at this point, Rinier is trying to really think hard about his different interactions with the kin and what he did after Ironbane had expired. And he gets different glimpses of people dying, of humans and kin alike. It's almost like a montage of deaths and a strange figure clad in armor that was doing these killings. And at some point, he realizes that he's in the point of view of the person clad in armor, just showing up in different places and doing mindless killing, or what he thinks to be mindless killing.
And obviously Cad sees all of this too. This is all around you.
What is going on? What is happening?
I think, dear boy, you were put to use. Don't judge yourself too harshly. Your skills, I'm sure, are very useful to those that seek them and need them. And a mind such as yours is malleable when touched upon by powerful, kindlish sorcerers. However, Rinya, let me shatter some illusion for you. And suddenly you're right next to the mess hall after this series of flashes of violence from going from that to then from before of being outside the camp. And Cad will push open these large doors and you see people scattered about. Everything is grainy here. It's fuzzy. The color seems to have been sapped away. People are frozen in time, in motion. There's one table in particular. A large wooden plank seems to have been smashed from it. And the parts that remain on the table, on the splintered wood, are covered in blood and bone and broken teeth. And simply sitting at the table, passed out, next to an innumerable number of mugs and bottles, is a long-haired, disheveled mirror of Brynir. And on the floor, at the bloody side of the table where this panicked crowd has gathered around or run from, view this almost as like one of the after-death scenes in Oberdin, if you will. This person
has just been brutalized. Their face is a pulp. What you can make out of one of their eyes has rolled back in their head. Their jaw is split up almost toward their ears where they were taken and just smashed onto the edge of the table like a curb stomp. And Cad just walks around and then he steps behind the you in the scene and he'll just wave his hand over your head, your shoulders, your back, your arms. He'll pick up one of the hands and just let it drop onto the table where it flops back into this still scene. And he'll cock his head and he says, "You see, Brynjar, you ascribe so much to greater power, but look for yourself." And he'll point and then motion to the dead man on the floor. "No strings."
"Perhaps they were just done with me."
"They?"
"The gods. They had no further use at the time."
"Did they ever?" "This." He'll orbit the scene again, just walking, his footsteps unceasingly loud, echoing throughout this mess hall. "You're doing. Not theirs," he'll point ambiguously to the sky. "Not Aduiniums, nor Lomiras, nor some order of a wayward godborn. No, I believe this was just who you are."
"Perhaps you are right. I am just a monster, feigning to do the right thing."
Brynjar will look pretty defeated at this moment, realizing that perhaps it wasn't the gods that has been manipulating him this entire time to lead him to where he is at now, that perhaps he gave into his frustrations. He realized that perhaps he liked the power, he liked the violence, and was willing to take on any opponent and punish them for thinking that they could do better than he could.
Cad will circle back to behind this visage of Brynjar and kind of pick him up by his sopping wet locks that are seemingly drenched in beer. And he just looks at this face that this Brynjar's making, completely passed out, unaware, a small cut under one eye, but barely any bruises or anything to show of any altercation. And whatever blood is spattered on him is certainly not his own. And then he just drops him again with an unceremonious thud as he rejoins this frozen scene. And Cad says, "A man with such a heart. Should that man use the heart of the void when given the chance? What world would you bring into being knowing that this," and he points to the man and to Brynjar, "is more than just your nature? That is what you all don't understand about using the heart. You bring with it everything. You know from intent it is not so simple as voicing your wants and getting what you deserve. No, it never is. It never will be. The heart is no different. Whatever this is, whatever all those things were, betrayal, guilt, loss, shame, whatever world you would make, you'd bring those with you." And then in the blink of an eye, you're on the river again. Cad lazily paddling you on the floor toward the aft, a few paces away in this longboat, this small canoe thing.
"Perhaps you are right, Cad. I would bring these things into the world. But I think anybody would. There is a choice for individuals to make how they are going to be. And I will have no control over that. And neither will anybody else who uses the Heart of the Void to change the world."
"No, you're wrong. There is one that could. What I've been saying all along. And perhaps she met all of you, perhaps she could have. But now I'm not quite so sure, seeing how insidious your own insecurities and failings are, how they've worked their way with a surety into her. I wanted to make her
the perfect heiress to a perfect world. And unfortunately, she met you. You all poisoned her.
Unfortunately, Cad, I don't think there's any way that a perfect world could be made where Luna could have high ideals and make things good. I don't think she was infallible as you seem to make her to be. She was like that before she met us. If anything, I think it's helped cement her own opinions on the way that the world should work. Being willing to compromise and find a solution that helps instead of claiming to be the only one who is right.
Bold words. Perhaps true. In fact, I believe you. And Cad will look over his shoulder to where the boat's going, and you see that these rapids and the waterfall are quickly approaching. And he says, well, we'll be drawn back into the waking world in mere moments, but you've made one thing perfectly clear to me, Brynir. What your role in all this has been, and will continue to be. And I think I understand you a smidge more than I did before. And now I know. It's been cemented, as you'd say, that next time you will not be a factor at all. And then you've got like 10 seconds before the boat hits the rapids and goes to the waterfall.
It does not matter if I impact the future. It was never my place. I will see that someone who can make the choice and be good about it gets there.
Cad, as the rapids start to roil around the boat and draw you closer to the waterfall, turning you around to where now Brynir, your back is to the waterfall, and Cad is watching it come closer and closer. He'll just shake his head and smile as this noise overtakes you and this white water overtakes you. He just says, you're right. Unfortunately, you won't get the chance again. And then you are just smashed with this wave of water that drowns everything out. This ringing in your ears quiets as your vision fades to black. And whatever plane this was, whatever portion of your mind, you're freed from. And you return to the crown of Egadon.